Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, our beloved and blessed Savior who is coming again. For the closing meditation of this week, we would like to speak particularly toward the unsaved as well as to the saved of the Lord Jesus regarding our responsibility toward His coming. God willing, in our later messages, we shall take up very many events that are yet to take place following the coming of the Lord for His own. But before we close the messages of this week, I would like to take the privilege as well as the responsibility of setting before my listeners responsibility that belongs to us and to all relative toward the coming of the Lord. All these precious truths, they're not without responsibility when you and I hear them and learn them. And there are responsibilities. First of all, let me speak to my fellow believers. For there are responsibilities that you and I should realize in regard to the truth that we have been covering. And I would realize with you, first of all, one responsibility in view of the second coming that the Spirit of God writes relative to that which should be our obedience to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have touched upon that 15th chapter. We have looked upon the rapidity of the coming of the Lord Jesus in that chapter. We have rejoiced in the great day that is yet ahead when we shall be changed and when the dead shall be raised incorruptible. But there is a responsibility given to the believer in this chapter at the closing verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My beloved radio friend who is saved, together with mine own heart, I would bring this responsibility to you as well as to my heart. My beloved brethren, therefore, because of what is going to take place, because of that glorious coming of the Lord Jesus, the truth that it brings does not come to us without a responsibility toward it. And let us understand what it is there for. As Paul says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Oh, my beloved Christian, are you and I steadfast? Are we unmovable? Are we always abounding in the work of the Lord? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And may I go on declaration of declaring, I believe according to the word of God that every Christian should be working for the Lord. I have no sympathy in making any distinction between clergy and laity. It matters not whether it's the preacher in the pulpit or whether it's the believer in the pew. Everyone who is born again, everyone who is in Christ, everyone who has this blessed hope that the Lord is coming for him or for her, everyone should be working for the Lord. I believe that every Christian should be a full-time worker for the Lord. No distinction, but every brother, every sister, no matter what their gift is, great or small, they can work for the Lord. Be ye steadfast. And Paul adds, you know, your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. I tell you one thing, if you work for the Lord, you're working for the best of all masters. Let's be steadfast. Then may I also be reminded with you from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11 and verse 12, the beloved apostle Peter declaring the coming of the Lord and the great day when he shall come. And even the universe will be changed in that coming day. Let me read to you what Peter declares. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye not to be, or ought ye to be, in all holy conversation and godliness? My beloved, if you believe that the Lord Jesus is coming, your responsibility and mine is to be a godly Christian. Godliness, holiness of life, practical godliness. My beloved, let me say it's a disgrace when a Christian acts ungodly. That's something we have to apologize for, as well as confess with shame to the Lord. But for the believer, be godly. James chapter 5 and verse 8 also tells, be ye patient, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. Be ye patient. And as I read that scripture in the epistle of James chapter 5, I recognize that the beloved apostle speaks very faithfully, as well as in condemnation of those who abuse the poor and the needy, and in doing so make themselves rich. But what does James tell will be the cure for it? The coming of the Lord. May I say, you'll never, never in this world, before the coming of the Lord, settle the disputes and the arguments and the disagreements between capital and labor. There'll always be confusion and disagreement until the coming of the Lord. He'll settle it. But may I remind you, my beloved fellow believer, until then, you and I are told to be patient. To be patient. To even bear the trial. Be patient. And James adds, for the judge standeth at the door. Don't you worry. Godless commercialism will receive its due judgment at the coming of the Lord. But oh, what should be the conduct? What should be the attitude of a believer in these cases of difficulty and trial and trouble and sorrow and grief? Patient. Oh, that you and I would be patient. May I say this? There are so many today that are impatient, they want to get the whole world, even some Christians, as much of it as they can. My beloved, why not wait till you get a better world and an inheritance that will never end? This world is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. Heaven is the home for the believer. But God grant, till we get to heaven, whatever we go through, we'll learn to be patient. Then again, may I remind you, we should be zealous, be steadfast, be godly, be patient, and be zealous. We've already touched upon something like that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But let me read the words in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. When Paul says it, farewell, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. What does it mean to love is appearing? I believe without question of doubt, from the context, it means I will live for the Lord, I will be zealous for Him. For in that coming day when I shall see Him, He'll be the righteous judge to give me the reward and the crown that I may deserve. But all them that love is appearing will be zealous for Him. May I repeat very briefly? My fellow believer, our responsibility toward the coming of the Lord, let me not fail to tell it. Be steadfast, be godly, be patient, be zealous. Many other things could be added, but God grant that we should realize the meaning of it, for our lives to be accordingly for His will and to be lived for His glory. But let me speak a word in closing to the unbelievers, please. What is the responsibility of the unsaved toward the coming of the Lord? And we turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. We read the words of our blessed Lord Jesus Himself. We're in chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel, and verse 44, we hear the Savior saying, and listen to it, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. My beloved, I cannot tell you when He's coming. I recall when I was ministering on many precious truths relating to the coming of Christ. In the city of Miami, it's over 50 years ago, but I recall at the close of one session, a dear brother said to me, "Brother Bramhall, I can tell you the hour that the Lord's coming." Well, I looked at him very sharply, but I said, "Go ahead." And then he answered, "In an hour that you think not." Well, I said, "I've got to agree." Oh, my beloved unsaved friend, he's coming in an hour you will not be thinking of. In an hour that you think not. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now may I say with a very burdened heart, and with a sincere heart, that has given me concern to give these messages on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole desire of my soul and the purpose of the messages that God has laid on my heart to give at this occasion is because the coming of the Lord is so near, and yet there are so many not ready. My beloved radio friend, are you ready? Are you ready? Oh my, so many people, they don't even want to think about leaving the earth. Going into a hospital and giving a tract to a lady on a bed, I said, "Lady, here is a gospel tract, will tell you how to get to heaven." She looked at me and snapped very quickly back to say, "I'd like to know how to get out of this here place first." Well, I realized that she was opposing the message, but I answered and said quickly, "I can tell you how to get out of it." She said, "How?" I said, "Lady, why not go to heaven?" "Oh, no, 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 no," she answered, throwing up her hands. I knew what she meant. She had no thoughts of wanting to leave this world. My beloved, let me tell you this very frankly. One of the greatest things you could ever do in service to your own soul is to start thinking, "How shall I get out of this world? Shall I go out of it unsaved? Or shall I go out of it saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus?" I say the words of the Lord Jesus to my unsaved listener, get ready. Be ready to leave. As one dear old fellow, when the doctor told him he had a terminal case, "I'm sorry," said the doctor, "you're not going to live long." The old fellow said, "Never mind, doctor, that's what I've been living for." He was ready. Are you ready, my friend? God grant. We pray thee, Father, to bless thy word to the end that someone will be saved in Jesus' name. Amen.